Hello and welcome once again to the Word from My Hermitage. My name is Father Clint Hancomp, and I come to you from my hermitage in the Dominican Priory of St. Pius V in Chicago, Illinois. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, March 8th, 2026. Our passage for reflection today comes from the Gospel of John, where he writes, "Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come back.' The woman answered and said to him, 'I do not have a husband.' Jesus answered her, 'You are right in saying, I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true.'" There are moments in the spiritual life that feel like standing alone in a vast, silent desert at noon. The sun is merciless. There is nowhere to hide. No shade, no covering, no distraction. Only truth. Only God. Only the soul. This is where we find the Samaritan woman. She comes to the well at noon, at the hottest hour, not by accident. She comes at this hour because she has learned to live in avoidance. She has learned to live where no one else will be. She has learned to live with her shame. Shame rearranges a person's life. It teaches you when to go out and when to hide. It teaches you how to speak without being known. It teaches you how to live without being seen. And yet Jesus is already there. He does not arrive after her confession. He arrives before it. He waits for her in the very place she has chosen for concealment. He waits in the full light of day. He asks her for a drink. This is already astonishing. God thirsts, not for water, but for her. But then comes the moment of terror. Go call your husband and come back. It seems like a simple request. It is not. It is a gentle hand placed directly on the wound she has spent her life hiding. She answers carefully, "I do not have a husband." It is true, but it is a partial truth. It is a defensive truth. It is the kind of truth we tell when we hope truth will go no further. But Jesus does go further. "You are right," he says. "You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." In that moment, everything is exposed. Not harshly, not violently, but completely. He sees her, all of her. The failed covenants, the broken promises, the compromises, the loneliness, the hunger that drove her into relationships that could not satisfy her deepest thirst. He sees not only her sins, but the aching thirst beneath them. This is the horror every soul must eventually face, to be seen as we truly are. Not as we present ourselves, not as we excuse ourselves, not as we justify ourselves, but as we truly are. There is something in us that would rather die than be seen this way, because we fear that if God sees everything, he will withdraw. We fear that his love depends on our concealment. But here is the revelation at the heart of this gospel. Jesus reveals her sin to her, not to condemn her, but to free her. Notice what he does not say. He does not say, "You are disgusting." He does not say, you are unworthy. He does not say, leave. He continues speaking to her. He remains. He asks for her heart. This is the decisive moment of conversion, not when we become aware of our sin, but when we become aware that God remains after seeing it. Many of us are willing to admit, in theory, that we are all sinners, but we admit it abstractly, safely, at a distance. What we resist is the concrete encounter, the moment when Christ names this sin, this wound, this pattern, this compromise, the moment when His grace falls directly upon the thing we hoped He would overlook. The moment feels like death, because something does die. The false self dies. The illusion dies. The carefully constructed identity that allows us to avoid the truth dies. But what is born in its place is freedom. Because the worst thing about sin is not guilt, it is isolation. Sin convinces us we are alone. Sin convinces us we must hide. Sin convinces us that if we are fully seen, we will be rejected. But Jesus proves otherwise. He sees everything, and He stays. He stays at the well. He stays in the conversation. He stays in her presence. And because He stays, she is able at least to stop hiding. She leaves her water jar behind. This detail is not accidental. The jar represents the old thirst, the old way of surviving, the old identity shaped by shame and avoidance. She leaves it behind because she has found something greater, or rather, she has been found. She runs back to the town, the very town she once avoided, and proclaims, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have done." Notice what she does not say. She does not say, "Come see a man who condemned me." She does not say, "Come see a man who shamed me." No, she says, "Come, see a man who told me everything." And she is no longer afraid. This is the miracle of grace. The horror of being seen becomes the beginning of joy. Because she discovers that God's knowledge of her sin is not the end of love, but the beginning of it. This is the invitation of Lent. To come to the well, to stop hiding, to allow Christ to speak truth into the deepest places of our soul, to allow Him to name what we fear to name, not so that we may be crushed, but so that we may be freed. Some of us have spent years living at noon, avoiding, concealing, surviving. Christ is waiting there. He is not waiting with condemnation. He is waiting with thirst. He thirsts for you. He thirsts for your truth. He thirsts for your freedom. The question is not whether He sees you. He already does. The question is whether you will remain with Him after He does. Because if you do, you will discover what the Samaritan woman discovered, that the place of your greatest shame can become the place of your greatest encounter with God, and the sin you feared would separate you from Him will become the very place where His mercy finds you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, You have waited for me at the well of my life. You waited in the places I avoid, in the memories I bury, in the truths I fear to face. You know me completely. You know the sins I regret, the compromises I justified, the wounds I carry, and the thirst that drove me to seek life where it could not be found. And still you remain. Give me the courage to stop hiding. Give me the humility to stand in your truth. Give me the trust to believe that your mercy is greater than my sin. Break the power of shame that isolates my heart. Break the fear that keeps me from your healing gaze. Let me hear your voice, not as condemnation, but as invitation. Let me leave behind the old jars of self-protection and illusion. Let me receive the living water of your mercy, and let my greatest poverty become the place of your greatest grace. You who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. If you found a blessing in this reflection today, I invite you to share it with others and return here each and every day during the season of Lent, as we reflect over the Word of God and apply it to our lives. May God bless you today and keep you safe. Amen.